It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are joined by political strategist Carl Calabrese. Carl, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Good to be with you.
Carl, this election's been only happening for 2 weeks, and it's already got a ton of stories. Let's start with the polls that came out right before we went on the air, showing that the battleground states are very tight. Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania, a tie. Georgia, +3. Wisconsin, +1 for Trump. North Carolina, +3 for Trump. And Nevada, which is surprising to me, +2 for Harris. What do you make of these polls?
Well, the first thing, Joe, is, you know, any nationwide poll doing a head-to-head contest really ought to just take it with a huge grain of salt, for the obvious reason that we don't have a nationwide election that decides the presidency by popular vote. We have 50 individual state elections that then decide where their electoral votes will go. And so a head-to-head poll is all show and no dough, in my opinion. Keep in mind that the Democrats have a huge advantage with the popular vote because of two states, New York and California. Joe Biden won the popular vote in 2020 by almost 7 million votes, and the majority of those came from those two states I just mentioned. And to really put it in perspective in terms of its relationship to electoral votes, in 2016, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by over 2 percentage points and only got to 227 electoral votes. So the poll that you want to look at, the polls you want to look at, are the key states that will decide the election. And you mentioned them: Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, and Arizona. That's what I'm following. I've been following them every month since January. Obviously, in July, everything changed with the replacement of Biden by Harris. They're all very, very tight. They're almost all within the margin of error. And so that's what I'll be looking at between now and the end of October. But I really don't pay a lot of attention to individual polls. And by the way, not all pollsters are equal. There are polls now that have Trump up 7 points and other polls that have Kamala Harris up 4 points. That's an 11-point swing. Somebody's wrong with those polls. So, you just got to look at, if you are going to look at an individual poll, I would check out, there are sites that rate the accuracy of individual pollsters. It may be very accurate in the top five or maybe in the bottom five of 30 or 40 polling companies. So those are the kind of caveats I give people. But I concentrate on the seven key states. That's what's going to decide who goes to the White House.
It looks like before the switch to Kamala Harris, Georgia seemed like a foregone conclusion for Trump. Do you think that was ever the case, or do you think it's still the case?
Well, even before the switch, most of those key states, Trump was up, but, 5 points or less. And the problem is, and I've warned Republicans who at that time were kind of exuberant, I said, don't get too confident. Democrats have proven since 2018 that they run circles around Republicans when it comes to collecting ballots, be it in ballot harvesting where it's legal, drop boxes where they're legal, and mail-in voting where that is done. Now, Republicans have had a change of leadership at the Republican National Committee. They're certainly talking about improving their ground game and their ballot collection game. So far, they're talking the talk. It remains to be seen if they'll walk the walk. We won't know that until Election Day. But if they don't, if the Republicans do not improve their performance of getting votes in, they will lose another election. It's just that simple. So even when he was up by 4 points, 3 points, 5 points, it's still awfully close. And that can easily be undone with a big voter turnout ground game. And the Democrats have proven they've got it. Republicans have yet to prove it.
Do you think the honeymoon phase will phase out? Does Harris, we had the switch, which got her the momentum. Then we'll have the DNC. Eventually, do you think things will kind of even out?
No, I don't. Given the media and the performance of the media, it may cool a little, but it will not revert to a balanced coverage of a campaign. She will have the advantage in press coverage from now until Election Day, and if she wins, she'll have it beyond that. It's just the nature of the times we live in. You know, she is going to be heavily scripted. I talked about this the other day with David. When she comes off the teleprompter, that's when you get the word salads and the cackling. And so what I've seen thus far is her handlers are managing her appearances. She's on the teleprompter. She's not taking any questions. It's been, 14 days since the switch occurred, and she has yet to sit down with a reporter. When she does, it'll probably be George Stephanopoulos, and she'll get a lot of softball questions. So I expect the honeymoon will continue by virtue of the fact that the media is pretty much all in for the Democrat ticket.
You know, the media kind of, at the end of the Biden campaign, he was getting treated like Trump, right, with the questioning. And you mentioned now with Kamala Harris, I mean, you've got both candidates going back and forth with, you know, he wants to debate, she doesn't want to debate, or she wants to debate, he doesn't want to debate. I mean, would it be best for Kamala Harris if there wasn't a debate?
Yeah, I think so, because if the reporters aren't asking her tough questions about, especially about her flip-flops in almost every major issue that she has taken very far left, progressive left, California type positions, and now she's backtracking. Interesting, she's not herself saying she's changing her positions. She's doing it through staff releasing written memos that she's changed her position. Now, unless she sits down with reporters and they ask her the tough questions, those questions obviously will not be asked. However, in a debate, Donald Trump, you would think he would really press her on those positions that are extremely unpopular with voters in this country. So I think that's going to be the only opportunity to expose her positions, her way of thinking, and her flip-flopping is by Donald Trump essentially playing the role of an objective reporter, because it ain't going to happen with the media crew that's in place today.
I know I'm asking, this is, you know, old news now, 2 weeks old, but I mean, where does this rank in ridiculousness? I mean, Gerald Ford obviously was not on the ticket when he took over as president, because you had the vice president step down and the president step down. But I mean, we're talking about someone who is very toward the bottom of the 2020 primary, now leading their party 4 years later, after not seeing them for two of the years they were vice president. I mean, where does this, for 4 years we heard this is not normal about the Trump presidency, but I mean, Carl, this isn't normal.
No, nowhere near normal. You know, it wasn't that long ago, Joe, just a matter of months, that Democrat pundits were writing openly that the smartest thing Joe Biden ever did was to choose Kamala Harris as his vice president, because that was his insurance policy against the 25th Amendment being invoked. I mean, that's how bad the coverage was of her. And on a dime, it switched from, you know, Kamala Harris, the insurance policy against the 25th Amendment, to Kamala Harris, political Wonder Woman. And that's where we are. But it is very, very strange, that we saw the process unfold the way it did. You know, I guess you could make the argument that if you go back to 2020 and you look at how the Democrat power structure cleared the field for Joe Biden to win that nomination, so that to prevent Bernie Sanders from being the party nominee, they did it with ruthless effectiveness. You know, they basically did it again, only with an incumbent president. That tells you how strong the Democrat power structure is, and how how committed they are to retaining power at any cost, including essentially a palace coup against the sitting president and a replacement with somebody who, up until just a matter of weeks ago, was considered.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. And Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A huge liability for the Democrats.
Do you think, going back to the debate, do you think there will be a debate? I mean, do you think there'll be multiple debates between these two candidates?
Yeah, I think there'll be a debate. I think the question is still open if there'll be multiple debates. I think Trump should want multiple debates. I think he needs to have a best shot at talking about the issues that are important to the American people and just how far removed from the mainstream Kamala Harris is. I mean, Kamala Harris is a far left progressive from a state that most people consider the goofiest state in the union, that being California. And she may try now to backtrack, but, you know, we saw this with Joe Biden. Joe Biden was supposed to be the moderate Joe from Scranton. And yet when he got in, he essentially governed the way Bernie Sanders would govern. In fact, they put together a unity platform, the Biden people and the Sanders people, during the transition period that essentially became the blueprint for everything we've seen from immigration to energy to defense. It was from the Bernie Sanders wing of the party. So if she is elected, forget all this stuff that she's suddenly moderate. You will see what we saw with Joe Biden, but even more accentuated to the left, because she is a woman of the left and always has been.
Speaking of policies, now, you know, you look at the economy and the border, and no matter who the candidate is, Trump has always done very well. I mean, it's a 20-point advantage when it comes to the economy, and even larger advantage when it comes to the border. And still, the polls are so close. The only thing that if you look at Kamala Harris, that she has a huge lead on Trump, it's with those that are, you know, talking about abortion. But, I mean, can the Democrats really ride abortion into this election?
Well, if you look at polls going back, you know, to 2020, and it was especially true in 2022, the Democrats do much better at the polling place on Election Day than they do in the pre-election polling process. In 2022, the Democrats were double digits underwater to the Republicans on every major issue in terms of what party people preferred to see in charge of that particular issue, and yet they still averted a red wave and did very, very well by historical standards in an off election when your president is the incumbent. And they do it by a better ground game of getting out the vote. So, yes, the answer is absolutely. They could do one of two things. They could change the issues. If this is a referendum on the Biden-Harris administration as a whole, Trump wins. If it becomes a referendum on Donald Trump and the many outlandish things he is capable of saying and actually says, he will lose. If it's an election about the economy, inflation, immigration, crime, and our position in the world, Trump wins. If it becomes a election, you know, dominated by the issues of abortion and maybe guns and those kind of social and defense of democracy, that, you know, if Republicans get elected, we won't have any more elections. If those are the issues that dominate, she'll win. So that's what you got to watch to see. What does the track look like? What issues favor what party and what issues dominate and thus decide what candidate will win based on those issues and voter preferences?
I want to get to things Trump says in a minute, but looking at the J.D. Vance selection with everything that this election now is, do you think that was the right pick?
Yes, I still do. And here's why. You know, if you look at the last number of vice presidents who've been picked, the old issue of, oh, we got to pick a vice president that will deliver a state, has not been the prevailing rule of thumb here. Go back to George W. Bush. He picked Dick Cheney, who came from the very red state of Wyoming. He didn't need Wyoming. He needed Dick Cheney's foreign policy chops, okay? And then you've got Barack Obama. Barack Obama needed somebody from the establishment, more moderate wing of the Democrat Party. He picks Joe Biden from the very blue state of Delaware. And then you go to Donald Trump. Donald Trump picks Mike Pence from the very red state of Indiana. Didn't need Indiana. He needed an outreach to evangelical voters. And that's what Pence brought. And then, of course, you've got Joe Biden, who picked Kamala Harris from the extremely red state or blue state of California, because he said he would pick a woman of color and a woman of color for vice president. That's what he said. And that's why he picked her. It wasn't because he needed California. So now along comes J.D. Vance. I don't think Donald Trump's going to need Ohio. Ohio is a pretty red state. But he needed to bring back into the fold a key demographic that elected him in 2016, that abandoned him in 2020, and that is white working class voters. He won that demographic by double digits in 2016 and by only 4 points in 2020. And those types of voters are heavily concentrated in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. So I saw the Vance pick as his outreach. Just as the Pence pick was an outreach to evangelicals, I saw the Vance pick as an outreach to those white working class people in those three key states, which Donald Trump must win one, preferably Pennsylvania, in order to get back to the White House.
Carl, now you talked about things Trump said, and, you know, Georgia is a Trump plus three right now, if you look at the averages, but he still continues to go after the governor of Georgia, who is a lot more popular than he is. He's a very popular Republican governor. I mean, it just seems like sometimes Trump is his own worst enemy.
No question. As many pundits have said, and I agree, this is Trump's race to lose, and he's more than capable of losing it. Why he is fighting with the popular governor of Georgia over the 2020 election is beyond me. Why he got into the race of the race of Kamala Harris when he met with the black journalist, Joe, one of the key concepts of a candidate is what they call pivoting, being able to pivot from an unfriendly question with an unfriendly premise to friendly ground that helps you. And he had the golden opportunity there. It's basic politics 101. When they asked her, what is she? You said she's, the answer was very simple. She is whatever she says she is. Let me tell you what she is politically. She is a far left progressive from California. And here are examples of the positions she has taken that prove she's a far left progressive from California. That would have been an easy pivot. We wouldn't be talking about whether she's Jamaican and Indian or whatever else. We'd be talking about her positions. That's what he's got to do. He's got to define her. I think he missed an opportunity. He should have been ready to go with some type of barnstorming tour of those key states immediately upon the announcement that she was going to be the.
We lost Carl Calabrese. Well, I'm sorry. That's technology. We can put a man on the moon, but sometimes a cell connection or a clean feed connection will just up and. Have you noticed, by the way? Have you noticed that happening more often? I've noticed my cell phone dropping out in the middle of town. Like, not on the outskirts of town. In the middle of town. Just the phone completely dropping out. Yeah, that happens way more and more. But we thank Carl Calabrese for joining us on this Sunday morning. He's back. Carl, welcome back. Sorry about that.
When did you lose me?
Lost you talking about what Trump should have done at the journalist meeting.
Okay, you lost me early then. I said he should have pivoted to she is whatever she says she is, but she really is, that I'm going to explain now, she's a far left progressive from California. And here are the positions she has taken that prove that she is out of the mainstream of the American people. That is what he should have done with the journalist. He should have been ready to go with a barnstorming tour of the key states immediately upon the announcement that she was going to be succeeding Joe Biden, almost 2 weeks before the virtual convention that the Democrats held the other day. He should have been in those key states and key cities and laying out why she is out of the mainstream with her positions, and talking about how his vision of the future is better for the American people than hers. He missed that opportunity, but those are the things he should be talking about. If he does, I believe he wins. If he doesn't, she wins.
Political strategist Carl Calabrese, he will be with us throughout this election season. Carl, thank you so much. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you, Joe. Take care.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.